ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، وكل محدثه بدعه، وكل بدعه ضلاله، وكل ضلاله في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek his assistance and we seek his forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah through whom demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Tonight, in our topic, following of the scholars, we're going to take from a collection called الرسائل السلفية في إحياء سنة خير البرية صلى الله عليه وسلم by Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Shawkani رحمه الله. Or the title is Salafi, Small Salafi Books, Bringing to Life the Sunnah of the Best of Humanity sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by Imam al-Shawkani. And we're going to take the Risala, or the small book, Al-Qawl al-Mufid fi Adillat al-Ijtihadi wa Taqlid, a beneficial statement pertaining to the evidences for ijtihad and blind following. But before we begin with the book of the Shaykh, I just wanted to make a point clear, and that is about myself, why I'm not a blind follower, alhamdulillah. And that's because in this issue of blind following and refuting the position of the blind followers, I've had the opportunity, alhamdulillah, to read the books of Ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, in his refutation of blind following and the blind followers. And also from Ibn Abdul Barr's Jami' al-Bayan al-Ilmi wa Fadlihi by Ibn Abdul Barr, as he has chapters in refutation to the blind followers. And also some of the scholars have collected the statements of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah in refutation to the blind followers. And also Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his book I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in, he has a long section on blind following and refuting blind followers. And Sadiq Hassan Khan,
and as Ad-Dinul Khalis has a long section in Reputation to the Blind Followers. And our Imam here, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, and I had the chance to read from our Shaykh al-Ma'asumi, whose book is translated into English, and that's the book about the madhabs. And I had the opportunity to read from our Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimahullah, from his introduction to the Prophet's prayer described, and others than them, and refuting the position of the blind followers and blind following. And I wanted to quote from this book, which is 61 pages, and I was trying to figure out from which one of these shaykhs that I might quote from, and then as I was trying to review quickly, it was just too many pages to even review in a short period of time to figure which arguments are the best or which ones should be presented. And I figure that if we start off with this book from Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, we would just get an idea that blind following has no place in this deen, and that the blind followers have many excuses or things that they call evidences that have been refuted by the ulama. Walillah alhamd. This issue of blind following, as the Shaykh will explain, that blind following is to accept the position of the Shaykh or the Imam or whoever without asking for any evidences and without him bringing any evidences. This is blind following. So you might say that you're not a blind follower, but you might do blind following. You might say you're not a blind follower, but you might do blind following. So it's important for us to know what it is, inshallah ta'ala, that we might save ourselves from blind following and the evil consequences of it, and that we might know blind following when we see it so that we don't get dragged into it, inshallah ta'ala. And this is similar to the Muslim who says he's Muslim, but he does things that's not Islamic. He says he's Muslim and he believes in Islam, but he's doing things that are not Islamic. So it's not amazing that people say that they're not blind followers, but they live the lifestyle of blind followers anyway. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, praising the one who rewards whoever practices this pure Sharia with a big, magnificent reward. Praising the one who lightens and brightens the hearts with the light of evidence of precise and clear verses. Praising the one who has guided them to the truth and the details of the statements and the actions of the best of the best, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And their deen is clear and has clear proofs, and those proofs are strong, and they're tasty to the one who drinks them, like a sweet spring of water to the one who goes past it. And salat and salams on the one who is free from a taqleed, or the one who is free from blind following, our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and on his noble family and his companions who defended this pure Sharia, غريبها والبعيد. أما بعد. Indeed, it has been asked of me, and this is Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah speaking, that the muhaqqiqun, from some of the muhaqqiqeen, or the investigators from the people of knowledge, that I might write together a research that encompasses the precise determination of the truth and the issue of blind following. Is it permissible to blind follow or not? And to present it in a way that there will be no doubt afterwards. and that the one who had any doubt wouldn't have it when I'm finished, or something like that. And because the questioner was from amongst the people of knowledge and those who have excelled in this knowledge, then the answer to his question is going to be in a manner of knowledge, of debate, and I'm going to say, and the success is with Allah. The one who says that it is not permissible to blind follow, and he's standing on this position, and the other one is on the position that you must blind follow, or that it's permissible to blind follow, then the one who makes the allegation that it's permissible, then he has to bring his evidence. And the ones who say that blind following is permissible, their evidence is, from amongst their evidences is Allah Ta'ala's statement, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I command you to ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. They say, meaning those who say that blind following is permissible, they say that Allah subhanahu has commanded the one who doesn't know to ask the one who knows better than he knows. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and we refute this by saying, indeed this noble ayah, it was mentioned for a particular group of people, and this situation is far from the case that they're using it as evidence. As you can see in the context of this ayah, by referring it to what has been mentioned before it and that which comes after it, as it's been explained by Ibn Jarir and Al-Baghawi and most of the scholars of tafsir, and that is that this ayat has been revealed as a refutation against the disbelievers because they refuse to believe that a messenger of Allah could be a human being. And As-Suyuti in his Durr al-Manthur, his book of tafsir, he also deals with this issue. And this is the meaning that this ayat means. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, and we have not sent before you as a messenger except men that we reveal to them, so ask the people of knowledge, أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ, if you don't know. Imam al-Shawkani doesn't bring what is mentioned after that in the next ayat, but it says بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ, with evidences and the zubur. Or as Imam al-Tabari himself, he explains, and this is making clear what Imam al-Shawkani was referring to, that al-Tabari, he's saying that Ahlul Dhikr, they are the people of the book, Ahlul Kitab, the people of the Torah and the Injil. And bil bayyinati wa zubur, with proofs and the zubur, it means that we sent messengers with evidences and proofs that they are prophets, or evidences and proofs of their prophethood. And بالزبر, and from the books that have been revealed. And Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah, he says, أهل الذكر, they're the believers from أهل الكتاب. And he says, بالبينات والزبر, he says, and we have sent them with proofs. Imam al-Shawkani continues as he says, وقال تعالى, أكان للناس عجبا أن أوحينا إلى رجل منهم. And are the people amazed that we sent a revelation to a man from amongst them? And this is from Surah to Yunus, verse number 2. And the other ayat was from Surah to Nahl, verse number 43. and what comes after. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ. And this is from Surah Yusuf, verse number 109, where Allah says, and we have not sent as messengers before you except men that we reveal to them from Ahl al-Qura, from the people of the cities. Imam al-Shawkani, I just want to explain real quickly. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says that they're using this ayah, فَسَّلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرٍ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, to show that you should follow you blindly whoever knows more than you. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says this question, this ayah, is really proof against them, because they're saying, ask their sheikhs, like Allah is saying, if you don't know, ask your shuyukh and blindly follow them. Imam al-Shawkani said that the ayah is not even referring to the scholars of the Muslims. And particularly this ayah was referring to the Jews and the Christians, and that it was revealed pertaining to the disbelievers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to tell the disbelievers, if you're amazed that I'm a messenger from Allah because I'm a human being, then ask Ahlul Dhikr from the Jews and the Christians, have not their prophets and messengers that came before me, were they from people or angels? So this is what this ayat was revealed for. And how are they going to use that as evidence? Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, but let's make believe that this ayat is general. And it's general, inshallah. Then the people have been commanded in their questions to ask Ahlul Dhikr. And the Dhikr is the book of Allah, and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and nothing other than those two. And I don't believe that anyone would oppose us in the position that this pure sharia is either from Allah azza wa jal, and that is his book, the Quran al-Kareem, or from the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and that is from his pure sunnah, and that there is no three to this sharia other than Allah's book and the sunnah. Imam al-Shawkani, he didn't really get into it, and I just want to bring two ayats to show, to substantiate, in case there's a question, that Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he said that the dhikr is the kitab and the sunnah, and that's in the Quran itself. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun, from Surah Al-Hajr, verse number 9, where Allah says, indeed, we've sent down the revelation, the dhikr, and indeed, we are the ones to guard it. The dhikr, Tabari, Al-Baghawi, and others, they say that this refers to the Quran. And even others say that this refers to the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَدَ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكُمْ ذِكْرًا رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. To the end of that ayah, from Surah Al-Talaq, verses 10 and 11, and Al-Tabri and Al-Baghawi and other than them, they explain this ayah, and Allah has revealed to you a dhikr, a messenger reciting to you pure, clear ayat, the clear ayat of Allah. They say that the dhikr, it refers to the messenger. So this is evidence from the kitab and the sunnah, that the dhikr is the kitab and the sunnah, and that that ayat asks Ahlul Dhikr, that if it refers to the people of dhikr, then it refers to the people who have knowledge of the kitab and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, continues as he says, so if they have been commanded in their questions to ask the people of the Quran and the sunnah, then the ayat is actually evidence against the blind followers, and it is not evidence for them. And that is because what is meant is that they ask Ahlul Dhikr, and Ahlul Dhikr will inform them. And the questions of the ones who, and the answer of the ones who are responsible is that they say, Allah says such and such. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says such and such. And then the questioner works by this answer. But this is other than what the blind followers intend when they use this noble ayat as evidence to support their blind following. Because indeed they use this ayat to support their blind following or to make permissible the accepting of the statements of men and their question when they question them without any evidences. And indeed this is a taqleed or blind following. And in light of this, then the people have defined blind following to be the acceptance of the statement of someone else without asking him for his evidence. That blind following is the acceptance of the statement of someone else without asking him for his evidence. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues, so he says, so in summary, a taqleed or blind following is that the blind follower does not ask about Allah's book, nor does he ask about the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Rather, he asks about the madhab of his imam only. And if his question goes past asking for the madhab of his imam only, and his question goes to asking about Allah's book and the sunnah, then in that case, he would not be a blind follower. And this is what, and even this, the blind followers themselves, they submit to and they don't oppose. Meaning a blind follower, if you told him that blind following means to accept someone else's position without asking him for evidence, they would agree that that's the case. And they would also agree that if you ask someone for his evidences and proof, that they would agree that that's not blind following. And it's not. And this is the difference between following and blind following. Following is when you follow the scholars, the people of knowledge, the people of understanding of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You follow them with what they bring of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you become a follower, and this is what is desired of the believer. A blind follower is when you follow someone and he doesn't have any evidences and you don't ask him for any evidences, but you take his statement because of who he is and not what he brings, then this is a blind follower. And this is what is not desired from this deen of Islam. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he continues as he says, so if this has been established, that the blind follower, if he acts as Ahlul Dhikr, or the people of knowledge about the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then he does not become a blind follower, then you know that this Ayatul Sharifa then you know that this ayah is not referring to something in particular, or that which it shows in the context of using this ayah or something like that. Rather, this ayah shows that everything in this sharia can be used general to refer to everything in the sharia, not the specific reason for which it was revealed. Once you understand that and you understand the meaning of this ayah, then it will be used to smash the blind followers in their faces and to crush their position and to break their backs. And this is what we have already proved. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah continues as he says, and also from what they use as evidences, the blind followers, is that which has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that he said in the hadith of the one who got cut in his forehead, أَلَا سَأَلُوا إِذْ لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا إِنَّمَا شِفَاعُ الْعِيُّ إِنَّمَا شِفَاعُ الْعِيِّ السُّؤَالُ. And this has been authentically collected by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they would have only asked when they didn't know, indeed the only cure for ignorance is the question. And likewise, they use the hadith of Al-Asif, the one who committed zina with a lady. So his father said, indeed, I asked the people of knowledge, and they informed me that my boy should be beat or lashed 100 times, and that lady must be stoned to death. And this hadith is authentic in the Sahih. And that means that it's in the Sahih of al-Bukhari and Muslim. They say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not oppose blind following of the one who is more knowledgeable than they were. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he says, we refute this as we say that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did not guide them in the hadith where the one who got lashed in his head, or gashed in his head. You know that story? That's when they were on a journey, and then the man got a big cut in his head, and then he had a wet dream, and then he didn't want to take a ghusl to make salah because he felt that it would harm his womb. They said, nah, really? It ain't no other way out for you but to take a ghusl. He took a ghusl, and then he died. And then they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they killed him. May the curse of Allah be upon them. At any rate, in this story, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not ask them to, if they would have only asked when they didn't know. The Prophet ﷺ is not asking them to ask about the positions and the opinions of the men. Rather, he informed them in their questions to ask about the Islamic verdict that has been proven authentic in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And because of that, he made dua against them when they made a fatwa without any ilm. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They killed him, may the curse of Allah be upon him. And with that, it was because that they gave the fatwa with their own opinion. So this hadith is actually evidence against them and not for them. And that is because of two issues. One is, it calls them in their questioning to ask about the Islamic verdict with evidences, with dalil. And the dalil is from the Quran and the Sunnah. And the other is that they were blamed
for relying on their opinion and giving a fatwa with their opinion. And this is known by every scholar, that the one who calls to the question, and this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he was in their midst at the time that he was guiding them to the question, and even though it seemed like it was a general question that he's calling them to, but what was meant by his question sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is that he was the one to be questioned, or that the question to question the one who knew the verdict that came from him sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the blind follower, as you see in the past, as you've seen, will not be a blind follower except that he does not ask for any dalil. But if he asks for his evidence, then he will not be a blind follower. So how can they have proof with these two hadith that blind following is permissible? And let me ask you, is a person with a mind and an intellect going to use something, going to establish something with that which refutes itself? Or is he going to prove that something is correct using something as evidence that shows that it's incorrect? So indeed, we don't ask anything from you, O you group of blind followers, except that which you have already shown in the evidences that you used. Imam Ash-Shawkani here, he's explaining, if it's not clear already, that in these two pieces of evidence that they use, where the first one shows that the Prophet ﷺ told them that you're supposed to ask. And that's what they're saying, we're going to ask the sheikh, whatever the sheikh say, we wouldn't. Or just like in the other person, he told the Prophet ﷺ, hey, I asked them, they gave me the answer, I did it. So he says, see, this is why we blind followers. Because of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it just tell us, ask the sheikh, whatever the sheikh say, we wouldn't. And then Imam Ash-Shawkani is showing you that, no, the Prophet ﷺ wasn't just asking them to ask. Because you see in both of the stories that the Prophet ﷺ, that the Prophet, or you see in the first story that the Prophet ﷺ, that he told them to ask and he blamed them for not asking. He told them to ask and he blamed them for not asking. He told them to ask for their dalil and he blamed them for acting on their own opinion. And that the Prophet ﷺ didn't blame the other man, and that is because the one who informed him with Allah's verdict and the verdict of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is that the one who commits zina, who's not married, he's going to be lashed 100 times, and the one who commits zina and that was married previously is going to be stoned to death. That's why the man is saying, Ya Rasulullah, listen, both of them was busted committing zina, but we beat him 100 times and stoned her to death. And it was both of them that committed to act together. I did that because I asked, they told me I did it. The Prophet ﷺ didn't oppose because there's two verdicts Islamically on the zani, that both of the two people commit zina are not the same, the one who's been married before and the one who's not been married before, if they commit zina, is not the same. There's one verdict for that and one verdict for that, and that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't oppose them. So even in this that they use as evidence for them is actually evidence against them. And Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, so I want to tell you, ask the people of ask Ahlul Dhikr about the Dhikr. When he asked the people who got knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah about the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Dhikr is the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then work by it. And leave alone the opinions of the men, and he said, she said, or hearsay. So I hope that the blind followers hear this tape or read this book from Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, so that we could say to them, O you blind following Sheikh followers, did you hear what the Sheikh said? So go around saying that the Sheikh said, and we went what the Sheikh said. And the Sheikh says, I'm telling you, ask Ahlul Dhikr about the Dhikr, and this is the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and then work by that, and leave alone the opinions of the men in hearsay, or he says, she says. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and we say to the blind followers, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says to them, don't you ask, why don't you ask? Because the only cure for ignorance is the question. The question about Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and not about the opinion of so and so, or the madhab of so and so. And indeed, if you ask about a pure opinion, then you have killed the one who gave you the fatwa. Just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said in the hadith of the one who got his head cut, they killed him, may the curse of Allah be upon him. Why they kill him? Because they talk without evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah, and they let their opinion be known. So let this be a warning to the people who continue to walk around saying the Sheikh said, no evidences from what the Sheikh said. That their statements, they killing somebody with their statements. May the curse of Allah be upon them. Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is our deen. And everything in our deen is based on Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and in the question of the father, Al-Asif, it was that he questioned the scholars of the Sahaba about a verdict from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he didn't ask them about their opinions or their madhabs. And every scholar knows that, or every person who has knowledge knows that. So we're not asking the blind followers except to ask, just as the father of the boy who committed zina asked, and then to act upon what the dalil shows you or leads you to, that which has been given to you by the person of knowledge and responsibility. However, the blind follower, he's only accepted for his personal position, that he will only ask about the opinion of the Imam and not about his narrations. So therefore, what he has used in this case as evidence is really evidence against him and not for him. Wallahu al-musta'an. And this statement, Wallahu al-musta'an, is from Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, and that is, we ask Allah alone for help. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and also from amongst the pieces of evidence that the blind followers use is that which has been authentically reported, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a position in the issue of al-kalala. And al-kalala is the issue of inheritance when someone dies and he doesn't have any parents or any children. So he made a verdict and he said, this is my verdict, and if I'm correct then it's from Allah, and if it's wrong then it's from me and the shaytan, and Allah is free from that verdict. So Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, indeed I am shy in front of Allah to oppose Abu Bakr. And it's been authentically reported that he said to Abu Bakr, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu Bakr, our position is our opinion is in accordance with your opinion. And it's been authentically reported on Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that he used to take from the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu. And it's been authentically reported on Ash-Sha'bi rahimahullah, from amongst the tabi'een, that he said that six from the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to make fatwas for the people. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Umar ibn al-Khattabi, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Zayd ibn Thabit, Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhum. And three of them used to give up their own opinion or position for the statement of the other three. And that is that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud used to give up his position for the position of Umar. And Abu Musa used to give up his position for the position of Ali. And that Zayd used to give up his position for the position of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. You see the direction that the blind followers are going in. Before even Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah refutes this, I want to say that we already should know the refutation on this ourselves. And that is that we only know about the Sahaba that their positions and opinions are qala Allah, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like if you say, how did the Quran come all the way to us in America right now? You say that Allah sent Jibreel with the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He recited it to the Sahaba. The Sahaba recited it to the Tabi'een. They recited it to the people who came after them, all the way up to us. So if you want to know anything that the Sahaba did, they told you the Quran after the death of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Or what we might know more so about the Sahaba is that they are the ones who narrate the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you look at Al-Bukhari or Muslim, whatever, it says Abu Huraira said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, such and such. Or Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, such and such. So even we should know a refutation ourselves is that, of course you take the position of the Sahaba because their position was what Allah said, what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. At any rate, Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, as our refutation to that is that the statement of Umar that he said, indeed I am shy to oppose Abu Bakr, and that was that he didn't want recognizing that Abu Bakr might be mistaken, and that Abu Bakr's all of his statements are not correct, and he's not free from making mistakes. That Umar was just saying he was shy out of etiquettes or not good manners, and not even though this isn't what is apparent in the statement of Umar, but we know that Umar radiallahu anhu has opposed Abu Bakr and so many other issues. Meaning, the Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he's saying that, you know that Imam, that Umar radiallahu anhu was saying that out of being polite and out of etiquettes and manners, because you already know that he opposes Abu Bakr and so many other issues. Allah. We'll just finish up right after the van, inshallah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, in his section on blind following the I'lam al-Waqi'in, when he presents this statement that the blind followers present using Umar's statement that he's shy to oppose Abu Bakr, Ibn al-Qayyim, he just lists all the times where Umar opposes Abu Bakr. Nah. And there are many examples, as Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he starts to mention some of them, as he mentions, real quickly, he mentions in the issue of who should be the Khalifa after you die. Abu Bakr chose Umar, right? Prophet ﷺ died, he didn't choose who was the Khalifa, the people got together, chose Abu Bakr. When Abu Bakr was dying, he says, Umar is the Khalifa after me. There was no discussion. When Abu Bakr died, who was the Khalifa? Umar. Was there any discussion? No. Why? Abu Bakr chose him. When Umar died, what did Umar do? He didn't choose who was going to be the Khalifa like Abu Bakr did before him. But he left the issue shura amongst the six people. And when he was opposing Abu Bakr in this position, he says, I'm only taking the position of someone who was better than Abu Bakr, referring to the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who died and didn't choose who was to be the Khalifa after him. And anyway, this is just one example, and then there are so many examples where Umar opposed him. And Imam al-Shawkani, he even mentions that Umar, when he died, radiallahu anhu, that he said that pertaining to the issue of the kalala, or the inheritance of someone who dies who doesn't have parents or children, he says that, really, I didn't understand this issue at all, and I don't have any position pertaining to it, radiallahu anhu. So it shows that even though he didn't say that he opposed the position of Abu Bakr, he wasn't with the position, radiallahu anhu. So Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he says, he says about the blind followers, he says, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, so if what is meant by this statement of Umar, that I'm shy to oppose Abu Bakr and the issue of Kalala, and this is what the blind followers say, then this is a refutation against them. Because it's been authentically proven that Umar took enough blind followers that you say that Umar was shy to oppose Abu Bakr, but he opposed them anyway. So how is you using this evidence as evidence to support your blind following, when you said he blind followed him and he didn't even blind follow him? Whatever your answer is, oh Mr. Blind Follower, then that's our answer too. That's what Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says. And if they say that, okay, Umar opposed Abu Bakr and these issues because of Umar's ijtihad, and that his ijtihad was different than Abu Bakr, then likewise in the position of Kalala and all of the other positions, that whatever this ijtihad went to, then he went with his ijtihad, and therefore it doesn't have any evidence to show that he was a blind follower in anything, radiallahu anhu. To the end of what Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, because of the lack of time, we'll just end right here. But what I wanted to add here is that we see just in the beginning, as Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah is just starting to mention some of the excuses why people blind follow, or what they deem to be evidences, then he just starts to refute them evidence by evidence. For our question to the blind followers, or the people who say the Shaykh said, so we gotta be with it just because the Shaykh said, because the Shaykh knows more than what we know, let's ask them, because in our case, most of the people are claiming to be Salafi, who are calling us now to be blind followers. And they say that everything is the Kitab and the Sunnah and the understanding of our Salaf al-Salih, but they keep saying the Shaykh said. If the Shaykh said, and we should take it from the Shaykh because the Shaykh said, what's your dalil? No, we all Salafi. The Shaykh said, we with that. What's your dalil? We ain't even gonna ask for the Shaykh dalil. right now. We ain't going to ask for the Sheikh to live. We want to say, if the Sheikh said it, we with it. But we just want to know what ayah, since you Salafi, and you told me to follow the Sheikh, or what's your evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, I should follow the Sheikh. What ayah he going to quote? Then he going to fall into what he say he's not. He going to say, I'm not a blind follower. He's going to say, he's not a blind. You asking me, you Salafi? Salafi. You a blind follower? No, I'm not a blind follower. He said, but should I follow the Sheikh? He's going to say, follow the Sheikh. You say, all right, what's your evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah? I said, follow the Sheikh. What he going to do? He going to do what the blind followers start doing and say, Allah says, فَسَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرٍ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, Allah says, ask the people of knowledge when you don't have, when you don't know. Then when he falls into what the blind followers have fell into, then we're going to refute him with the refutations that the people have refuted the blind followers with. So even before the issue gets to the Sheikh, we can keep it with, we love the Sheikh and we follow the Sheikh. You follow the Sheikh, whatever he says, inshallah ta'ala. We just don't follow you, whatever you say. You said the Sheikh said. We want to deal with what you said right now. What's your evidence from the Kitab and the Sunnah that whatever the Sheikh says, we have to take it from him? He don't have no evidence from the Kitab and the Sunnah. And if he doesn't have any evidence from the Kitab and the Sunnah, we're going to tell him, shut up and stop saying the Sheikh said. Say the Sheikh say, when you got evidence to support that the people are supposed to take from the Sheikh. Otherwise, what you might be doing is killing. What you might be doing is killing. And this was the case before. When the Sheikh said, listen, ain't no verdict for you but to make a ghusl. The man made a ghusl and died. Prophet ﷺ said, y'all killed him. How you kill him? They kill him by making a verdict without evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah. This is the same thing now. You said the Sheikh said. Now you going all over the world and on the internet, taking your statements all over the world, dividing the Muslims, causing fights and arguments amongst the Muslims. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. It can lead to even farther than that. You see how the blind followers killed people in the past? You see how at making fatwas on Allah's deen without knowledge from the Kitab and the Sunnah kill people in the past? It'll do the same thing nowadays. And even with a lot of the stuff that they are saying that the shuyukh don't have the slightest idea, unfortunately, because of the lies of some of these people with diseases in their hearts. They don't even know what's going on. So the people paint a picture, they all agree together on a lie. And the Sheikh thinks that everybody is together from different states and whatever, it must be the truth. Then they present it, and then they get something, and then they go around saying the Sheikh said, and then they make us have to follow. There's no blind following in this deen. And blind following is when you take the position of someone other than yourself without him having any evidences from Allah's book or the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we've been commanded to do is to follow the people of knowledge. And follow them means to take what they say with their evidences from Allah's book and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We might not memorize all of the evidence, but we still know that when the Sheikh answered, he gave his evidences. We ain't memorized the evidences, otherwise we would have been the Sheikh. If we knew all the evidences, we would have been the Sheikh. No. We don't memorize all of the evidences, but we know that the Sheikh gave his evidences when he made the answer. And sometimes these blind followers, they say, the Sheikh had his evidences. They lying. They lying, or they stupid, or both. No, seriously. If the Sheikh had his evidences, what's his evidence? I don't know, I'm stupid. Nah. You said you was, wallahi, people acting like they're tulab, students of knowledge, going around. They said the Sheikh said, we students of knowledge, we represent the Sheikh. If you're a student of knowledge, you represent the sheikh says something, he got evidences, what's his evidence? You stupid, you don't know, he don't have no evidence? Alright. If you're not stupid, you lying. Why are you lying? Because you know you ain't heard no evidences from the sheikh. You ain't heard no evidences. You just say he got evidences, but you ain't heard none. So you lying. You either lying or stupid. Because if the sheikh had evidences, then bring the evidences, because this is our deen. Our deen is Kitab wa Sunnah wa ala fahmi salaf al-Ummah. Kitab and the Sunnah on the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. So the sheikhs, we with the sheikhs because the sheikhs teach us the Kitab and the Sunnah. How you understand the Quran and the Sunnah? By way of the sheikhs. But if the sheikh has a position with no Kitab and no Sunnah, do you follow the sheikh blindly in that? No, you don't follow the sheikh blindly in that. We follow the shuyukh when they have evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't be tricked. As I said, nowadays the tricks are coming a little more sophisticated against us. And this statement, following the ulama, following the scholars, it seemed like it means following the scholars, but really what they're saying is, blind follow the scholars. But they put their thumb over the word blind, and they said follow the scholars. No, and if you would push their hand away, you'll see that they're saying blind follow the scholars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from blind following anyone, no matter who he is. And if we had time to go through, and maybe we might take on another next week or something to take a look at some more evidences, that you will see where Allah in His book, the Quran, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, He blamed the people for following their forefathers blindly, without any evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah. How many ayat hold to that? And this is what we were mentioning in the last class. And this is what Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah and many of the ulama are going to mention with the case of the Jews and the Christians who followed their priests and rabbis, or their priests and scholars. They followed them without any evidences, and then they went astray. And this will be the same case for whoever imitates them, by following the people without their evidences. And the ulama have warned us against this, past and present, and I'm warning myself and I'm warning you all, as the plot has become a little more sophisticated, that the people are running around with the word follow the scholars, and you feeling a little shy and a little scared that you might not follow the scholars, and then you go astray. And really, it's the ignorant, stupid, or the liars, the ones carrying the message of the scholars to you. And wallahi, we don't even look at who's carrying the message to us. We don't look at who's carrying the message to us. And this was the case of the people who came before us, like Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he narrates on the authority of Muhammad ibn Sirin, his chain on the authority of Muhammad ibn Sirin, that he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Indeed, this knowledge is your deen. So look at who you take your deen from. If somebody said, the sheikh said, we want to look at who you to tell us what the sheikh said. Then we look at you, we see you ignorant. Alright, we cancel you out. No, seriously. We look at you ignorant, we cancel you out. But sometimes when people come into us, they say, the sheikh said, we ain't paying attention to who's saying it. Sometimes we're not even concerned with who's saying it. Even like recently, with one of the brothers, he was asking me, you know, they said, well, so-and-so said. I said, so-and-so don't make salat in the masjid. Astaghfirullah, Abu Muslima. Naam, Astaghfirullah. But tell him to say it too. Because he don't make salah in the masjid. And really, wallahi, people admit it. You think people don't admit that they don't make salah in the masjid? They admit it. Because they live where ain't no masjid. They live, ain't no masjid, they can't get to no masjid. Allah knows best if they have any intent on moving to where they can live so they can go to a masjid and establish the salah. Then they come and hit you off with something, saying, follow the sheikh. You say, okay. Really, you following him. He ain't narrating nothing from the sheikh because he don't even know the language of the sheikh. Wallahi, some of these narrations are coming from people who don't know the language of the sheikh. Wallahi, one of the brothers, he was telling me, somebody told him, the sheikh said, they said, oh man, mashallah, man, I didn't know you know this Arabic and stuff like that, man. May Allah increase you. He said, no, I don't know the Arabic. You don't know no Arabic? I thought you just said the sheikh said. The sheikh is strong, man. The sheikh came to America and picked up English in one day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the sheikh. And they said, nah, the sheikh don't know English. Wait a minute. You don't know Arabic, and the sheikh don't know English, and you said the sheikh said, something missing. No, something missing. Somebody in the chain missing. Nah. I really? Shut up, I won't talk to you no more. I want to talk to who missing in the chain. We don't want to talk to you. Nah, seriously. But brothers, we sitting around, we taking from people, man, it's people missing in the chain. You don't know that that one missing in the chain will say that, whatchamacallem, he ain't narrating on me. He don't even know what I said. And how many times are many of these narrations coming? It ain't even correct. We talking about the sheikh said, ain't nobody even know the language of the sheikh. And then two, even on top of it, and some of the brothers got mad for me saying this, but this is the haq. That even if you know Arabic, doesn't mean you know the language of the sheikh yet. Even if you know Arabic, doesn't mean you know the language of the sheikh. And oftentimes when we're learning Arabic in the beginning, we forget there's two Arabics. If for lack of better words. One is the Arabic language, and the other is the technical terminology that the ulama have used in the Arabic language so that you can understand them when they talk about this deen. Like our Sheikh Muhammad Nasir bin al-Albani used to say, Wallahi, in the beginning I used to find it difficult to even talk to the people. Because our language was so technical, nobody didn't understand what we were saying. We say the hadith is mawquf. They don't know what that means. Somebody narrates the hadith, he say the hadith is mawquf. You say, maw what? Does that mean sahih or da'if? You don't know. Nah, the sheikh, he be talking, you don't have the slightest idea what the sheikh meant. Or like, for example, sometimes the sheikh say, that's the position of a Shafi'iyya. That's the position of a Shafi'iyya. Or that's the position, as we say in English, that's the position of the Shafi'is. You be walking around saying, Imam Shafi'i said. No, a Shafi'i didn't say that. That's the position of the Shafi'i scholars that came after him. But you don't know nothing about no technical terminology of the ulama. So even though you know some Arabic, you don't know what's meant by the Arabic words that the ulama use because they take different meanings determined depending upon what subject they're talking about. Like if they say usul, first you don't know if they're talking about fiqh principles or the fundamental principles of this aqidah. You're going to have to know in context what he's referring to. You don't know what he's referring to, you don't know what he's talking about. So you think because you learn a couple of, you learn a little bit of Arabic, you know how to speak now, you can kick it with the Arabs or something. You think because the sheikh talking, you understand what he's saying. Wallahi, you don't understand what he's saying. Wa billahi, wa tallahi, you don't understand what he's saying. And I know because I hear the translations of the people myself, man. I be hearing people translate, they don't know what they're talking about. And wallahi, even in some of the books that come out, they be having translations, wallahi, they don't understand what's going on. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. At any rate, we have to be aware of this call to following the Shaykh. You follow the Shaykh? Yes, we follow the Shaykh. But you have to understand what's meant by following the Shaykh and not be tricked into what's floating around in the air of following the Shaykh, which is blindly following the Shaykh. Meaning taking a position of the Shaykh that's not based on Allah's book or the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is in one case. And like we say, the Shaykh is forgiven, inshaAllah ta'ala. The Shaykh okay, inshaAllah ta'ala. Because the Shaykh intended to be correct. The Shaykh intended to be correct. And he was mistaken, and inshaAllah ta'ala he'll be rewarded. But you, the fake Shaykh, on ignorance and stupidity, you passing around these verdicts with no knowledge, even if you write, you're going to be in trouble. Naam, the Messenger of Allah, when he talked about the three judges in the hellfire, because he made his verdicts based on ignorance. You ignorant, you guess on the verdict, you write, how are you going to be doing that? Or the people are passing around these verdicts, they don't even know the language of the Shaykh. So they heard someone who don't know the language of the Shaykh. You should see some of these chains, wallahi. You should see some of the chains. Who told you? He don't want to tell who told him. Why he don't want to tell us who told him? Wallahi, ask some of the people what's going on. Where you get that from? He don't want to tell you where he got it from. Why he don't want to tell you where he got it from? Because he know it's baltic. You know it's pure falsehood. That's a, if your chain's strong, you be happy. Where you get that from? Shokani. I brought the book with me. Now, where you get that from? Where you get that daughter from? Shokani rahimahullah. You be proud to get it from who you got it from. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he said, I heard from over than 1,000 scholars that iman is a statement and an action. Proud and happy to mention. You should see Al-Imam al-Bukhari's Aqidah. Y'all see his Aqidah? It's translated into English. Imam al-Bukhari's Aqidah, what he say? First he just start mentioning all the names. You probably be bored with those names. He's mentioning all of those names. This Aqidah I got, first let me tell you where I got it from. This is where I got it from. Then he mentions Aqidah, rahimahullah. On some of these chains that's going around, people scared to mention to you who said what, because they know it ain't right. So you brothers and sisters, watch your deen. And watch where you take your knowledge from. Because this knowledge is your deen. And this statement that's been going around, follow the Shaykh, really, it's a call to blind follow the Shaykh. So you be aware that you don't blind follow the Shaykh. Because you might jump, like they say, you jump out of the frying pan into the skillet. No. Jump out of the frying pan into the skillet. You jump out of blind following into blind following. And when you follow the position of the ulama with their evidences, don't let people say you're a blind follower. And this is one of the tricks that the people try to do because we weak. We don't know. All we know is we heard the Shaykh say, Allah said, Prophet ﷺ said this, that, established it, and we with it. Don't let the people make you a blind follower because they didn't like the Shaykh who presented the evidences. Or they have a problem with the Shaykh who presented the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so they make like you a blind follower. You blind follow the Shaykh. We don't blind follow the Shaykh. We follow the Shaykh because he has evidences. That's why we follow the Shaykh. And this is too what the blind followers are trying to do in this call when they say follow the sheikhs. That means blind follow the sheikhs. And then they trying to make you blind follow the sheikhs after you are already following the sheikhs. Don't let this language be confusing. Because the people, they're calling you after you know. Is there someone from amongst us who doesn't understand that our deen is based on the kitab and the sunnah, and that we get our understanding from the kitab and the sunnah, from the people of knowledge? We all understand that. And this is our deen. Alright, when you do that, don't let people come and say you're a blind follower. You ain't no blind follower, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And sometimes the people, they make this statement, blind follow, to chase you away from the position that you're on, and you know that it's based on evidence. And this is what I get myself oftentimes, where people come and say, the Sheikh said, Jazakallahu khairan. Oh, you blind following, whatchamacallit? No, I ain't blind following him. Because the haq was already here before he was born. Any Sheikh that I've learned a position from Islamically based on the kitab and the sunnah, the position was already established before I learned it from the sheikh. Before I learned it from that sheikh, or before that sheikh was born, the position was already established in the kitab and the sunnah. All that sheikh had the opportunity to do was to be born and to learn Allah's verdict, and then learn the verdict of his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then pass it on. Why are people trying to make you a blind follower? Because they're blind following. And they're not going to be happy until you blind follow them. Because they're not, at least they just blind following. And they pick and choose who they can blind follow. But they're going to make you blind follow only who they blind follow. Because they ain't telling you go blind follow somebody else. Okay, if they're a blind follower, tell us go blind follow somebody else. They're not happy with us blind following somebody else like they blind following somebody. You tell them the sheikh said? You with it? They say, yeah. What's his evidences? I don't know no evidences. But you with it? Yeah, I'm with it. Alright, we with that sheikh. You know his evidences? Nah, I don't know no evidences. I just heard him say it, I'm with him. Nah, you can't do that, man. You blind following the sheikh. Alright, if you blind following, let you blind follow who you blind follow, and let us blind follow who we blind follow. But we're not blind following, alhamdulillah. I'm just saying that to just refute them when they call you to blind following. Tell them if you have the right to blind follow whoever you like, why doesn't everybody else have the right to blind follow whoever they like? Islam is clear, alhamdulillah, and its adherence to the kitab and the sunnah, and the way of our Salaf al-Salih, and the way of our Salaf al-Salih, in the general sense, is that we understand and we practice the Qur'an and the Sunnah the way it was taught to us and the way it was practiced by our Salaf al-Salih and the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the scholars of this deen. So let's be aware of the statement that's floating around in the air, follow the scholars. Because what's intended by it is blindly follow the scholars. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there was anything that wasn't unclear, or any comments or statements. Yes.
A lot of people. just have to watch who comes to you and our messengers, you know, we should
say, Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah, Allah. The brother is reminding us, he says, that we follow the truth and we don't follow the men. We follow the truth and we don't follow the men. So we take from the men who bring the truth. And what we're following is the truth and not the personality. And the ulama, when they come to us in America and know that we have just accepted Islam, or from amongst the Muslims that were born as Muslims, many are just starting to practice Islam or to learn and know Islam, that the real people of knowledge are going to begin with what the people of knowledge begin with, which is the beginning and the foundation. They're going to begin with the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're going to begin with the Aqeedah in general and teach the believers the Aqeedah and emphasize this. And they're going to focus on the issues of a Tahara, of using the bathroom and making wudu and ghusl and the other affairs of cleanliness of the believers. And they're going to focus on the likes of the issues of the Salah, on how to make the Salah, and reciting the Qur'an, and things like this. This is what the people of knowledge are going to begin with us, as this is what Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, began with, and he commanded his Sahaba, and the people of knowledge are beginning with this after him. And we need to be aware of other people who come in and pose as ulama and people of knowledge, and what we see them focusing on is hearsay, or he said, she said, and who's who, and who's not who, and dividing the Muslims and causing hatred and enmity in the hearts of the believers. We need to check out who's coming to us and what they're teaching us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. Yes. The people that they say, or they question, or the question is, should we get the questions that affect our deen answered by the students of knowledge or by the scholars themselves? Should we get the questions of our deen answered by the students of knowledge or by the scholars themselves? The people, they answer to you, get your answers straight from the scholars. The answer to you, get your answers straight from the scholars. That's going to take us back to what the brother said. What are you trying to get from whoever you're trying to get it from? You're trying to get Allah's verdict in his book, or the verdict of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what you're trying to get. It's not who's who, but it's what you're getting from who. And you're getting Allah's verdict, or the verdict of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Really, what the people are doing by this, when they say you don't get your verdicts from the students of knowledge, but you get it straight from the ulama. Who of you get it straight from the ulama? If you don't know the language of the sheikh, how do you get it straight from the sheikh? That's what I want to find out. If you don't know the language of the sheikh, how you get it straight from the sheikh? By way of somebody bringing to you who knows the language of the Shaykh, technical and the normal language, and then he brings it to you. This is how you know what comes from the scholars directly themselves. Okay, if this is the issue, then tell me why the ordinary ignorant can go straight to the ulama and give you a better verdict than the students of knowledge who sat with the ulama who bring it to you from the ulama. Tell me how that works. Wallahi, I've been amazed. I've been amazed that the people can say that the people sat with the ulama themselves for years in classes with them, and the ulama tested them and questioned them, and then they passed those tests. And then the ulama said that they are okay and they understand this subject in tafsir, or that subject in tawheed, or this subject in hadith, or this or that. That those people, if they bring you something from the ulama, it's considered not directly from the ulama. And then if the ignorant call the ulama on the phone and bring you something, that's called directly from the ulama. Wallahi, tell me what kind of understanding is that. Wallahi, it's because I don't understand. And then I want you to tell me the difference between somebody who called the sheikh up on the phone today because he don't know how to make wudu. And wallahi, I challenged some of these brothers to quote the ayat of wudu. They couldn't quote it. I asked the brothers, quote the ayat of wudu. They dealing with big issues that the ulama are differing. They don't know how to wudu straight, make wudu straight. Tell me what's the difference between the ignorant calling the ulama and getting an answer right then, and then someone who sat with the sheikh, memorized the evidences, took a test and passed it, and memorized it, and then brought back what he memorized to you and gave it to you straight. How that's going to be called not coming from the ulama, and that's from the ulama. Wallahi, I don't understand what the people are talking about. And sometimes I don't even know if they understand what they're talking about, and I don't know how this thing is continuing to spread around us, and how we can continue to ask ourselves, who you take it from. And I remember one of the brothers, he was saying it right to you all publicly here in North, on a big lecture series, when alhamdulillah we were away at Hajj, and Allah saved our ears from such foolishness, alhamdulillah. He was telling you brothers right here in North, he said, don't you take from the students of knowledge, take straight from the ulama, and we bring it to you straight from the ulama. He went to sit with the ulama, failed out, so they kicked him back and sent him back home. So when he came back to you, he don't tell you what the deal was. He don't tell you he couldn't hang out, and he couldn't get down. He couldn't understand what the ulama was saying. Then he come back to you and tell you that the people who hung out and understood, they don't represent what they bring in from the ulama. I represent from you what we bring from the ulama. Everybody said okay. Wallahi, man, tell me what y'all understand. Tell me how we're going to take this type of thing to keep going around. People said, did you take it from the sheikh or it's not from the sheikh? Wallahi, I asked this question before. Tell me how you're going to worship Islam. How you're going to worship Allah and follow Islam and do anything in your life correctly without the guidance of the people of knowledge. Tell me how you're going to do that. It's impossible. People say people are not going by what the sheikh said. Wallahi, Maghrib is 3 raka'ahs. Maghrib is 3 raka'ahs. 2 raka'ahs allow, the first 2 and the last 1 silent. Somebody's going to say that that statement is weak, weaker than someone who get on the phone right now and call somebody and say, how many raka'as maghrib is? Yeah, subhanallah. Wallahi, Islam is clear. Don't let people fool you, man. You can't learn Islam except by way of the people of knowledge. And if you know something correct from Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you learned it by way of the people of knowledge. Let's not be tied up into all these tricks of the people saying the people of you gone from the scholars, you not taken from the scholars. It's going to be the same thing from the scholars. Who he say the scholars? So and so. We're going to ask the Shaykh, where you get that from? He got to say where he got it from. Ain't nobody been born and we taking something from him except he got it from someone who came before him. So the Shaykh going to be asked, Shaykh, where you get that from? Who did the Shaykh sit with? And so on and so forth. So it's going to always be that everyone is going to have to go back to what the Shaykh is calling in the beginning, that whoever answers the questions of the people and whoever teaches the people is going to have to teach them Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the issue of taking from the people of knowledge, you have to take from them by the ways that you can take from the people of knowledge. And even the people have said that, I remember somebody say, you're not taken from the people of knowledge. He told me this, one of the brothers said to me, you don't take from the people of knowledge, Abu Muslimah, you only take from dead scholars. Nah. Wallahi. And then everybody was saying, yeah. Come to think of it, man. All the people you be quoting from, they dead. Nah, seriously. Nah. Why you don't take from the ulama? So then the whole group of brothers, they ask me, why you don't take from the ulama? I tell them, when did al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, stop being from amongst the people of knowledge? Al-Bukhari, he's not from the ulama. Why we quote Bukhari, we ain't quoting the ulama? Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he not from the people of knowledge, he not from the ulama? Why if we quote al-Tabari, people say we ain't quoting the ulama? We quote Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. People say we're not quoting the ulama because he did. You don't know the statement of your salaf? Be aware of the people who still living, because they could be tested. But follow the people who have already died, because it's already made clear to you what they was on. Wallahi, this was a call from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to follow our salaf as-salih. They died, what they died on has been left for us. And the ulama have checked it out generation after generation, and once it's certified as good, we good to benefit from it. This was a call from the people to keep us away from all of the ulama who we learned from. And now I wonder what they're saying now that the two sheikhs, rahimahumallah, have just passed away, Ibn Ubaz and Al-Albani. Now you're going to stop taking from them because they did? Now what they say don't count because they died? Wallahi, this was the statement of the people. And then other people, they're saying, you read them from books. You can't learn your deen from books. Wallahi, they lied to you. How many of us, we accepted Islam from books? Nah. Well, wallahi, we accepted Islam from books. Wasn't nobody coming calling to know Islam? Who called you to Islam? Ask the people. I ain't seen no Muslims come from no Muslim countries call me to nothing. Nah. I can say that right now. I ain't seen no Muslim come from no Muslim land call me to know Islam. How we accept Islam? Read a book. How are people going to say you can't understand no Islam from reading a book? How do ulama become ulama? From reading books. How are people going to chase you away from reading books saying ain't no knowledge in no books? You got to sit with the sheikh. And they the last person sitting with the sheikh. They ain't put in no years with no shuyukh, and they telling you don't read no book. Ask them how many years they put in sitting with the ulama. They ain't put no years in. But they're going to tell you don't read no book and don't benefit? And the same thing, people listen and benefit from a tape. They say you can't benefit from no tape. You can't learn no Islam from a tape. Why are they chasing us away from knowledge? If we can't learn Islam from a tape, where are we going to learn it from? You learn it from the ulama. If we learn it from the ulama, where are you learning it from? He's sitting in the same ghetto we in. Why he said, where you live at? The ones that be winging us off in the salat ranks and after Jumu'ah or wherever we be at in the parking lot, those people winging us off, where they live at? Live right here around here with us. Alright, if you're supposed to be getting your deen from the ulama, why you here with us? You're supposed to be over there with them. And then you should see some of the people, man, wallahi. I know people right here, man, winging people off, man. We try to pay their way for them to go overseas. They wouldn't go sit with the ulama. Wallahi, we put money down for brothers to go sit with the ulama. They wouldn't even go sit. But then they're going to sit and tell you, man, I'm getting my deen from the ulama. How are you getting your deen from the ulama? From the phone? If you can't benefit from the book, we just say you can't benefit from the phone. You can benefit however you can benefit. And the ulama, they were benefiting from the books. And if they weren't benefiting from the books, you tell me why Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he wrote a book called Sahih al-Bukhari. Why he write the book if you can't benefit from the book? Why he write it? Is he living now to explain his book to you? Is he living now to quote it for you? Why don't you be like some of the deviants, they burn Sahih al-Bukhari and Fath al-Bari in front of the masjid. Said, this is what we think about that. Wallahi, tell me why the ulama have so many books. Wallahi, you walk into the libraries of the ulama, subhanallah. You say, Shaykh, where you gonna sit at? It's all books. What the sheikh doing with so many books, you can't learn Islam from the books. Wallahi, when we went to sit with the ulama, the ulama was reading from books. Nah. We went to the ulama, we studied Sahih al-Bukhari with the sheikh. What do we have in our hand when we study Sahih al-Bukhari? A book called Sahih al-Bukhari. Wallahi, when we study the Aqidah of Imam al-Tahawi and the explanation from Ibn Abi al-Izz, and the Shaykh was teaching us the Aqidah, tell me what we had in our hand. We had the book. We study the Aqidah al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, what we have in our hand. The book. We study Sahih Muslim. What we have in our hand when the Shaykh is teaching us Sahih Muslim. The book. Man, the Shaykh be teaching you the book, man. We learn the seerah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, what the Shaykh got in his hand. A book. Why the Shaykh got a book in his hand, he the Shaykh? Because that's how you learn Islam. And tell me what the people benefit from. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord that created. That means don't learn Islam from a book. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Alhamdulillah.